host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. Joining me today, Chase Terwilliger, CEO of CBD Distillery. And Chase is also on the board of directors at the U.S. Hemp Roundtable. Chase, so great to finally have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff, for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. You know, I thought, you know, a great way to kick off today would be kind of a little bit about your history in the CBD space. So I think as far as companies and as far as professions, like, you've been in this space pretty early on, more than most. You know, I think for one, you're obviously running a pretty large CBD company itself, but maybe kind of talk a little bit about how the landscape has shifted in the last few years, you know, from when you started and to where we are today. Obviously, so many companies have now kind of gone in and kind of put their stake in the ground in the CBD craze. So I think maybe kind of, you know, talking a little bit about what we've seen in the last few years would be a great way to start the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right, Jeff. We were one of the early companies into the space in 2016, early 2016. At that time, there were a handful of companies selling CBD. It was really exciting time. You know, no consumers really knew what CBD was. It's such a weird molecule because it was never allowed to be studied before 2014. And so really when we came out, it was all about just educating the customer and then finding a way to get in front of the customer. So, you know, there were four other companies, I believe, when we technically entered the space, and they were all kind of going after the natural foods channels, which was kind of the path of least resistance and easiest to scale. You know, the consumers, you know, understood a little bit more or were, you know, more receptive to learning about, you know, what CBD was. We took a different approach and went directly online, which was, you know, we had a lot of obstacles to overcome, but at the same time, it was white space. And so, you know, we took that as a competitive advantage to educate the consumers. Everybody knows that it's really easy to, you know, put out really good content, really good blogs. And so we used that to educate the consumers. And that was really the spark that you know, let CB Distillery thrive. You know, today it's completely different. There's not five players, there's 3,000. And I think, you know, it may be 1,500 now because, you know, COVID was did take out some of them. But it's great how the whole industry has evolved. It's better for the consumer right now to have all those brands, and then it will all kind of consolidate. What it's pushing us towards is a couple of things. One, innovation. You know, CBD is somewhat of a commodity, to be frank. And so going and innovating around product form factors and also getting into, you know, different minor cannabinoids is huge, and that's kind of where the industry is today, as well as just compliance. You know, this was at the very beginning, there were people making this in trash cans, no joke.
Wow.
You know, pour the hemp in, put ethanol on, I saw somebody take a top of a grill grate and start to break it down that way. those days are completely over now.
Right.
And so it's all about compliance and dietary supplement guidelines and following all of that.
Yeah, well, I think I read that you guys were, you know, one of the first brands to actually put QR codes on the labels that link back to batch testing. And so obviously trust for consumers is, you know, is huge these days. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that are trying CBD for the first time. There are a lot of people who are trying CBD for the second and third time. And there's a lot of people where it really works for them. So, you know, I think it'd be helpful to understand from you too, like, how are you guys, you know, maintaining and building that trust with your consumers every day?
So that was one of the first things that we did to separate ourselves from those other four companies, where we were the first ones to publish third-party test results. So we were really transparent. We also have a pretty accessible price. And we've kind of carried that through. As you said, we're then the first ones to put QR codes. So our consumers, especially if they're buying in retail and they're not on our website and can't see the certificate of analysis for the product, they can just scan it right then and there.
Cool.
What we've recently added is complete traceability. So we put in Microsoft Dynamics GP ERP. And so it can track every single package that goes out in every single lot to those consumers. Again, if, you know, God forbid there was ever a problem, we could track that. And then we also try and use, not only, we've one main testing, third-party testing lab, but we also use three others behind the scenes to make sure and kind of validate that lead lab's test results.
So, I had a question for you as far as brand craze and trends, and the last couple of years we've seen some kind of interesting things coming out of the space with CBD. So there's some traditional brands out there that are injecting CBD in sauces and mm-hmm. products, and they launched some of these around 420 too. So what are your thoughts around I don't know if it's really just kind of jumping on the craze with CBD and it's really for marketing, but what are your thoughts around that? I'm not going to name any specific brands and call them out, but you could probably think of a few off the top of your mind, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I chuckle a little bit because I want to be respectful of our competition.
Right.
But I would just question some of the bioavailability. I do think that it's added as just kind of a hot thing to have in your product right now.
Right.
I got an ad the other day for, and this isn't calling out a brand, but it's a product.
Yeah.
I think there's multiple brands that have it, but a CBD pillow.
I saw that.
Yeah. Maybe I'm lacking the knowledge on how you can infuse it in the pillow and it's going to stay there.
I was wondering, by the way, I'm like, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, what we're seeing is that really for it to be effective for sleep, you need a dose around 30 milligrams. I don't know how much is in the pillow. I should have taken the time. I didn't know we were going to talk about it. And so I should have taken time to actually look how much they said was in there,
yeah.
How much could get through your skin into your body. So I agree with you. It's been a goofy time in the industry. And, to be honest, it's products that may not be efficacious and products on Amazon that claim that they're CBD and they're not CBD. It's hemp extract or hemp oil. That's really, it's turning people off from the category. So it's something that people could, try CBD and have life-changing benefits, which happens all the time. And now they, have their first experience with a bad product that doesn't have the right bioavailability, or, a product on Amazon that doesn't really have CBD in it. And now they leave the category because of it. And it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. So I think, you guys obviously, you carry so many different products, whether it's tinctures or pills or creams or topicals and soft gels, et cetera. Anything that you're seeing as far as not just trends, but also maybe some insight into consumer behavior and what they're shopping for? Like, has there been any shift in the last 6 to 8 months where you're like, that's very interesting? I don't know if it's because of COVID or the pandemic and people are really thinking about holistic health and healing, but have you seen any type of spikes or trends over products that were not the norm from, let's just say, the last 12 months?
Yeah, I'd say for COVID, and then I'll talk about kind of over the last 3-4 years. For COVID, we've seen more people go to our powders. So you can actually buy, a gram powder of full spectrum CBD on our website, and they're actually, they save a few bucks if they actually make their own tincture or make their own, whatever they're going to make out of it. And so we have seen a slight shift towards that. I think people just kind of really tightening the belt, like we all have done. And then kind of over the last 4 years, everything was about tinctures. So for anybody listening that doesn't know what a tincture is, it's just, apothecary bottle with a dropper. You actually place it under your tongue, hold it there for 20 seconds, and then swallow it. Just like that. There we go. After it's a great experience, but you have to be the right consumer. that consumer was kind of the cannabis connoisseur, as we talked as we talked about that customer internally over the last few years. That's all shifted, where gummies are our number one sellers now. So people, again, it's, there's still a lot of tincture sales, but people prefer, you know, gummies for their form factor.
Cool. So I think
more mainstream.
Yeah, I think, you know, also as we're talking about, you know, trends and kind of, you know, things that are emerging, we're hearing a lot of companies talk about CBN and CBG. And I think a lot of people that are either kind of curious or just starting off, they have no idea what those are. So maybe you could help us elaborate on some of these new derivatives that we're starting to see in products as well.
So CBN, so we came out with CBN tinctures in September, and they've been a hit. We can barely keep them in stock because it's hard, you know, in cannabis, there's THC and CBD that takes up a lot of the cannabinoids and the concentration of cannabinoids in the plant. And then you have all these little minor, what we call minor cannabinoids, which is CBN and CBG. And so we actually have to go and isolate those molecules and take them out. And so it's hard to keep them in supply with the demand for those products. CBN is great for sleep. That's where that's where personally, you know, I've had a lot of benefit. Mm-hmm. And we have anecdotal evidence right now. Obviously, we're in the middle of a lot of studies with CBN and sleep because we think it's the next big cannabinoid, maybe even bigger than CBD. But that's, you know, that particular one is really known for its sleep benefits. And then you have CBG, which again, it's a very new cannabinoid. Really, the people who are buying it right now are that cannabis connoisseur that know the plant probably better than I even do. And our product team is really excited about that. And that has some, you know, again, we haven't done the studies for these yet, so that's the disclaimer. But basically anti-inflammation is the best thing for CBG. And again, it's such a goofy deal that we haven't been able, these molecules have been around for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, but we haven't been able to do research until like right now on some of them. So that's really what we're trying to plug our pipeline with, those miners.
So, you know, really interesting too, as far as the industry and the marketplace, every day it seems like, you know, there's some celebrity, some athlete launching their own CBD brand. You know, if you could kind of turn the clock back to when you were first starting this, would you have thought that we'd see this much of a kind of hockey stick, you know, acceleration of like major celebrities kind of getting into this so quickly?
You know, I think I would have, because when we started getting those testimonials back, so just to take a step back, I came from the healthcare industry. Everything had to be, you know, proven by science. I was in medical device. And so when I first got into this, there was really no science behind it. And so all we could take were testimonials, and the testimonials were so, you know, impactful to us and our team and life-changing to the individuals. I knew we were on to something. I guess what I didn't see coming was just the low barrier to entry into the space, and people, you know, everywhere, again, you know, 3,000 brands basically overnight. I didn't see that coming. You know, it was surprising, because we thought that we were going to get some regulations put in place that, you know, you can't be making it in your garage with, you know, some ethanol and a grape. And so that allowed all these 3,000 brands to hit the market.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had quite a few folks on the show in the CBD space, you know, across all different spectrums, whether it's celebrity, vitamins, holistic healing, what have you. And I think the same thing comes up over and over when we're talking about trust. You know, obviously, kind of post Farm Bill, you know, everyone tried to, like, you know, rush in on this craze, and you see it everywhere. You see it at like these local random gas stations. You see it at like local health supplement stores. And some of these people who have never tried it before, they're like, oh, I'm going to go and try it because everyone else is doing it. And then they have a bad experience, or it doesn't do anything for them. And so obviously education is just so important these days. And you know, I've talked to a few folks who are like, yeah, I tried the CBD stuff. I got it at this, you know, local rinky dink, you know, store in my neighborhood. And it's like, you should probably look into a brand that's doing real testing and the purity levels and, you know, concentrations. And I think that's obviously an uphill battle as you have a superior product, somebody who's experiencing it for the first time, and they might be turned off by it, right? So how are you guys looking at that as far as education?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of went through and are still educating people on just what CBD is.
Right.
As you said, our biggest problem is, where are they getting their CBD? And really what feeds into that, which is becoming a bigger problem, is how much CBD are they actually taking, right? You know, we had a 250 milligram tincture on our site for a couple of years, and people bought it like crazy because it was the least expensive, and that's how they were kind of introduced to CBD. But we really shot ourselves in the foot. Yeah, maybe a more accessible price point, but the concentration in there just isn't enough for them to really get the benefits.
Right.
And so hopefully, and you know, we're leading this charge with some other CBD companies, we'll start to come out with more real world data around how much is the right dose. And everybody's going to fluctuate a little bit, but we're really putting a lot of time and effort into figuring out what the right dose is for everybody. And then they'll be able to really experience the product and see if it's for them or not for them.
And do you, and I'm just curious, like, I don't know the answer to this myself, but, you know, do you think the, you know, the FDA will evaluate CBD so that people can actually have health claims against it, or no, is that kind of a pipe dream, you know?
I think absolutely. I don't think it's a pipe dream. I think they're going to allow it to some extent. I mean, what the FDA needs to see is raw data and data that actually proves a claim. And
right.
So again, we're 4 years into this industry, really, in the CBD, where we've been able to you know, actually sell it. And the studies just aren't, we don't have enough long-term studies yet. Because the first couple of years where everybody was just building, right, and seeing if there's a product market fix. Now we've really moved on to, hey, we need the science behind everything. And once we can prove that, I think we can make claims.
Yeah. I mean, I see so many articles, especially during the pandemic, like cannabis linked to, you know, COVID deterrent, or cannabis linked to X, Y, and Z. And it's just crazy. Every day there's these articles coming out that don't really have much scientific backing. But, you know, people read stuff and they believe it, right? So it's kind of this whole wild, wild west world. And then, you know, I feel like this year alone, like, I think for all of us in the industry, you're seeing this rapid acceleration of, like, all these states coming on board, you know, and legalizing recreational, you know, cannabis, which is kind of amazing to see. And so obviously for, you know, the CBD, you know, businesses out there, it's great and all, but taking it a step further, it's kind of like more of this national acceptance, you know, from consumers too. They want it, right? They want to have full benefits of the plant. So just curious from you, you know, obviously you're on the hemp roundtable and you've been, you know, kind of an activist and involved in all this through the years, but it's kind of great to finally see a lot of this, everyone's work kind of, you know, coming to a head, where there is this kind of movement that's, it's moving quickly.
Yep.
So I know that's not really a question, more of a statement, but you know, what are your thoughts on everything that's happening today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with how it's progressed. Obviously, we always wish that, you know, the FDA would put in regulation a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I also understand why they're waiting to put in some regulation. You know, we're co-sponsors of a study around liver toxicity. That was one of their concerns. I can't comment on the results yet, but they'll be published in the next 6 weeks. And so, you know, I think that they'll come around here soon and put something in place. So I'm happy with how it's evolved. Just wish it was a little quicker, because again, it's all better for the consumer too. The quicker they can put that in, it's safer products. And then also it will open up mass retail. So like right now at your grocery store, there's a handful of grocery stores around the country that are selling CBD ingestibles. But it will open up that whole market. And now you as a consumer can get, you know, you don't have to go through and figure out what's the trusted brand, which one's not. You know, you have a grocery store that you trust, or, you know, a superstore that you trust that will do that betting for you. And then you also get to see all the products next to each other. So if they take three different brands, you'll be able to compare those in prices, which is naturally going to drive down the price of it too. So it's just better for the consumer. And that's why I'm really hoping that it gets sped up and something happens here soon.
Yeah. One thing that we're seeing, in at least in our industry, at least on the Philo side, is, there are a lot of traditional brands out there that have nothing to do with CBD or even cannabis. And they're really interested in targeting that consumer for their products.
Yep.
Especially sports related. When it comes to cannabis, obviously a lot of the fast food restaurants, they're trying to capitalize on that as well. But it's just interesting to see how a consumer who's transacting, you know, one from a health supplement perspective with CBD, and then on the flip side, more of a medical or recreational buyer of, let's just say, edibles, THC, you know, THC related products like pre-rolls and stuff. They're like, how do we get in front of those customers, right? Because even a lot of liquor brands, they're starting to really lose market share to folks who are saying, you know what, I'm not going to drink this weekend, I'm just going to take an edible. Right. So it's a shift that's happening, not just from a CBD element, but also, you know, on the THC side as well, which is, again, very cool to actually see in 2020, 2021 now. I'm curious, like, what will happen next year? Will we see federal legalization across the board? Will it take 2 years? Will it take 3 years? But it's kind of like snowballing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be interesting to see how the marijuana side plays out. And then, you know, does it take the same route that hemp did, where now all of a sudden each state has a certain amount of time to put in their program? And how does that shuffle out? It's going to be really exciting to watch. But, you know, and regulatory wise, oofta. Yeah, we got some things coming down the pipeline, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we have literally the largest regulatory database of everything from CBD and THC regs and ordinances, and like the stuff that I see coming in every day, I'm like, it's daunting, you know, on a state by state basis.
And you have to have somebody that has their thumb on that at all times, because the second that you slip, there's just related to CBD industry, there's 3,000 brands.
Right.
Somebody doesn't put the right Prop 65 label on there. There's a slew of lawyers that are just waiting to go and get those things. So that just weeds you out. And the regulatory thing is really where I think it's going to separate the companies.
Totally. Well, Chase, this is great. And, you know, it's great to finally have you on. And, you know, before we break, any, maybe anything that we didn't cover today that you guys might be working on, that you're releasing, that you're looking forward to this year?
Yeah, I think, again, just be on the lookout for more minor cannabinoids and more research from us. That's really where we're going to innovate. And again, we have had strong demand, and we have great customers who really, really enjoy these new products and trying these new products. So, just really excited about the innovation pipeline from us this year.
Sweet. Well, we will be looking out for that. And again, Chase, really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, for everybody who's tuning in, check out CBD Distillery. They've got great products on their website. Yeah, we look forward to having you back maybe mid-year.
That'd be great. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.